This is The Platform Rules, digital transformation for product companies, hosted by Propel Software. A major acquisition can be great news for a small tech startup, but it's also complicated work to manage such huge growth in such a short time. When Alert Innovation was acquired by Walmart for its best-in-class e-grocery fulfillment technology, it was up to Heather Maltop, VP of Team Services, to create a smooth, scalable infrastructure for the transition. Today's episode may seem familiar to some, as our chat with Heather originally aired back in May as a virtual session in our Propulsion series. We hope you enjoy this crowd favorite from the event. Here's Dario.
Heather, thank you for joining us here at Propulsion 2023.
Thank you, Dario, for having me. It's really great to be here.
Yeah. We love Alert Innovation. We love working with you. Really, really interesting story. So why don't we start a little bit for the group with what Alert Innovation does, and tell us just a little bit about the Alphabot and your e-grocery fulfillment model here.
All right. So again, thank you. This is a really exciting time for the scrappy startup from Massachusetts that invented the Alphabot Market Fulfillment Center. So with shopping behavior shifting more to online pickup and delivery, our founder, John Lert, he saw a need, a unique need in the grocery retail space. So in 2016, he started Alert Innovation, and with the help of Bill Fosnight, our CTO, they developed the Alphabot system. So the Alphabot system was purpose-built to meet the specific challenges of e-grocery order fulfillment. And what we do is, we're all feeling it today, right? When we do go to the grocery store and we see all of the personal shoppers in the aisle working to fulfill the online orders. So what Alphabot does is it moves online ordering to the back of the store, and then we use the automation system with humans to hand off products to robots, who then put them into a storage system, then to fill an order. The robots efficiently pick items from storage and deliver them again to human associates for fast, accurate customer order picking. Once the orders are all completed, they need to be stored in the Alphabot system one more time until it's time to provide to the customers. And at that point, the robot goes, gets the orders, brings them back to our associates, and then our associates hand them over to the customer directly or put them in a delivery van. So we have the only automated storage and retrieval system that's designed with three temperature zones to store inventory and our completed orders at the correct temperature to maintain quality and ensure product safety, right? Those temperature zones are room temperature, refrigerated, and frozen, just like you see in a grocery store. So the key benefits of our system include increased online order capacity of the store, better inventory control, lowest cost per order, better associate experience, and better customer experience.
So Alert Innovation, and I had to look this up just to make sure. So in 2020, Forbes named you one of America's best startup employers. And then by the end of 2022, you were acquired by Walmart, and now you're working for a company with over 2 million employees and $600 billion in revenue. So again, in just less than 3 years from startup to the world's largest retailer. So what was this period like for Alert? You know, what occurred over those 3 year period there for you?
So we've been working very long hours, working really hard to prove our concept. And so basically that has been our focus, right? Very exciting time for our entire organization. And at the end of last year, it was really great validation to have Walmart essentially endorse our team and our technology with the acquisition. And practically, the acquisition, it's never changed our focus nor our strategy, because we've been working alongside our partners within Walmart for years, and the plan has always been to grow with Walmart. So over the next few years, we are going to continue to enhance our systems and technology, grow our team to scale to ensure we deploy our solution in all of the Walmart stores that are suited to have an Alphabot, and to make sure our store leaders are really happy with the product because of what it does for them.
Okay. So with this change, like, how has Alert itself, how has your business evolved with the acquisition?
So essentially, it's hard to believe because you're right, right? We are this little tiny startup and we've been acquired by the largest retailer in the largest company in the world. But we are with Walmart as our great partner. We just continue to define the best infrastructure that's going to support the technology, the resources required to scale the technology, and how best to approach our future together, right? As our business and our output expands, we have to adjust our processes to meet the evolving needs of a growing and more complicated organization that has a high volume of fielded product, and one that's now compliant to Walmart processes, of course. But we have always been planning to do that. So, which is good that we've been planning to do that. So that means the amount we have to change our focus is limited.
Okay. So if that change from the business, what was good, how about from the IT side? Because that's your specific area of ownership, right? Whether it's the acquisition or just the general business evolution, you mentioned you were already going down that path, but your IT strategy and your IT stack has evolved over time. Can you tell us a little bit about how that has changed?
Sure. And again, it's kind of the same old boring story. Having the largest retailer as backing you does change things just innately in small ways that you don't understand all the time. But because we expect it to scale, we planned for success, right? We've been selecting tools in the IT space with the expectation that we were going to grow to the scale we're currently anticipating with Walmart. And so as we have been selecting our systems, an important requirement is always that the technology is going to be able to grow with us. When we started, you know, our processes were lightweight to ensure that we remained really nimble as we had to adjust the design, you know, because we were in that fast iteration to prove out the technology. But now we're at the point where to support our growth, we're going to evolve our processes to meet the needs of, again, that larger, more complicated organization that has teams and products deployed throughout North America. So I think our foundation, the foundation for our IT focus today, again, it's to evolve the processes fast enough to meet our expanding footprint of the product in the field. We have to really work to ensure our data is accurate, and we have to have the hooks to make robust reporting available for real-time decision-making. So again, I feel like it's the boring IT story, but this is our focus, right? Being able to evolve fast, make sure our data is great, and then report it so we know how we need to adjust in real time.
Yeah, I don't think it's a boring IT story, by the way. If so, I'm in the wrong line of work, and people are probably at the wrong event if they find it boring. I think it's actually quite fascinating, but I do want to dig in a little bit more on this one. So you talk about the business evolving and the processes evolving. And then, you know, I know that you also had to evolve your IT strategy. And then obviously, you know, selfishly, we're always looking at the role of technology like Propel and other technology providers. But can you walk us through a little bit about how you made that evolution from an IT strategy and what role your technology stack played in all of this?
Well, I would say that, again, we keep our focus on what volume of people and process does our technology stack have to support? And what is that data going to be? So we need our focus moving forward. We were a little bit, our nimble processes, we weren't necessarily focused on 100% great data, right? So now that we're going to have more sites to deploy, more parts to buy, service, you know, field service out there with thousands of fielded products, we're really moving to ensure that the data in our business systems can quickly turn into information so we can make our decisions efficiently. So right now, as we've been transitioning through the acquisition, we have a better story to tell everyone and to get everybody aligned to, right? We have to ensure that 100% of our data is 100% accurate 100% of the time. So with that as the backdrop, right, a few of the key or essential attributes of great technology that really speak to me, one of them, it starts with a great user interface, right? Because that great UI can make creating good data easy, whereas a bad UI makes that really difficult. And then once you have a great UI, you get helps to get great data. Then again, back to, we just have to be able to pull it out and turn it into information quickly. So tools that either have great reporting capabilities inherent or have really easy ways to bring reporting tools on top of them so we can pull information out. And then, especially in the world of PLM, where you're really going to be tied to an ERP system, how can you mash up that data together to make sure that your change information is robust? So back to, you know, for a second, the great user interface that can guide a user to entering the right information. A tangential or adjacent capability is a tool that has data validation kind of baked in as users are entering information, and the users see that as an assist rather than an obstacle. I consider those lowest cost of ownership features. And at the end of the day, the great UI, I love to train users. I love to make users successful. And I think to do that, you know, we get a very small slice of time to train people, right? Because they're so busy doing stuff. The stuff like design and development, right? So when I get that valuable time of theirs to train them, I really want to focus on the process and the why they need to do what they're doing, because that engineers love to understand why they're doing something. And when they understand why, they're going to do it better. And then if I don't have to tell them how to click, how to scroll, where to find the information on the page, that just allows me to focus on what's really important in training. And so great technology allows me to do that, right? It's about the process. It's not about the tool. And great technology lets it be about the process. So I can expand on this if you want, Dario. Yep. Right? Because I think, again, back to that great information allows me to make reports available, business intelligence available for real-time decisions. And this is really important. Everyone at Propulsion understands how important this is to being able to develop great products, change great products, while always understanding how we're minimizing technical risk, schedule risk, product quality risk, and really minimizing the cost of change. And then I would say the other feature of technology that, again, speaks to me is when platforms have an expandable architecture, right, that allows us to extend our processes on one platform. One of the areas over the last 3 years that we've really focused on is there's so many tools that are either point solutions or they seem like they're similar to one another, and you can end up with IT sprawl, right? Which I think when you're fast and nimble and you've got 50 people in the organization, that's manageable. But when you're growing, you know, 50% a year, 100% over 3 years, and you're trying to bring in new people, that IT sprawl can be debilitating. So to scale fast, right, we need an IT footprint that scales without our having to add this endless stream of providers that then I have to, you know, put middleware in between to connect them to gain any efficiencies. So from the perspective of Propulsion and maybe a use case that will speak to a lot of the participants, right? What I'm seeing Propel do in the space of what I call bomb health, especially as it relates to environmental compliance, is incredibly helpful. It's like, it's a dream come true for someone who's been worrying about ROS and REACH for more years than she likes to admit, right? So out of the box PLM, you can get lifecycle information, you can get AML data, and then you know, in engineering, you're continually getting a stream of product change notices from your supply chain, trying to understand what life cycle your parts are in. And then Ross and Reach came along, and there's this, you know, almost an unmanageable amount of information to be dealt with. And so we've all been looking, you know, again, outside at these other vendors who can do create these point solutions for us. But as Propel starts to expand in these areas of information management, that's so important to a organization that's trying to move fast. It's just, it's remarkable, and it's so appreciated, Dario, to be honest, right? I'm looking at the features that are coming into Propel with the advanced environmental compliance and manufacturer part information management. And I'm like, I'm going to be able to get rid of a couple vendors. Don't tell those vendors, right? But I'm just going to be able to shrink it. And most importantly, right, the engineering function, the engineering function, the fewer screens we make them look at and interrogate to understand the robustness of their design, just the better the design is going to be naturally, right? Because they can focus and they can, we need to put that information, that environmental compliance, that manufacturer part lifecycle information right front and center for them so they can make great decisions, develop great products that we don't have to fix or redesign because something has gone end of life sooner than we expected. So better, cheaper, faster product development. That's what I see on the horizon, you know, for Propel, when we can incorporate all of these features.
Hey, just want to clarify one thing. When you're talking about bomb hell, which is a new term for me,
bomb health.
Oh, health. Okay. I'm so much happier I asked the clarification.
But I was a little bit worried. Some of us would understand the first term very well too.
Okay. All right.
Health.
That makes me feel much better. Although we were going to have a new marketing campaign there for a while. It was bomb hell. But that's excellent. So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but did you have anything else on that? If not, I think we can.
Well, I do want to add just one more thing, because I talked a lot about the technology features, right? Which is super important, of course. But for me as an IT leader, and I really want a great partner with my IT providers, right? And so to me, this is where every time I create the Pew matrix for an IT solution based on whatever problem I'm trying to solve, one of the requirements will be easy to do business with. And this is definitely a requirement that will tip the scale to a solution provider when the technical requirements are similarly achieved, right? And I guess I will expand, right? I'm sure that this is not new information for anyone in the audience. We've all had those partners where every conversation is contentious, right? We know walking in what the conversation is going to be like, how it's going to go. We create bad cop, good cop setting, right? Just to get through contract negotiations and difficulties with the tool. From my perspective, I'm sure I'm not alone, right? This is not conducive to a long-term engagement. It results in a transactional situation. And in my case, I'll look to my team and I'll be like, okay, how do we find somebody else who can do this for us and make it easier? Because this is just too hard. We're too busy to just have to go through these difficult conversations that aren't just difficult for no good reason, right? So in that easy to do business with, obviously through the sales process, but even more important, it's that long-term customer support. What is that model going to be like? And obviously this is something you gain with experience to understand the questions to ask. But I will, you know, give a little shout out to you guys for sure, because you have a model from my perspective that is unsurpassed. And selfishly, I really wish a lot more companies would figure out how to replicate it, because the days of contentious should just be over, right? At Alert and at Walmart, we're just dedicated to continuous improvement. We've chosen a tool where you guys are putting features in, you're rolling them out quickly, and we want to be able to take those in. But the customer support model that we have just allows us to adopt a fast-growing organization to adopt another fast-growing organization's features quickly is awesome, right? We all understand what the cloud gives us in SaaS in terms of lowering our IT integration costs. But it's still always a challenge to adopt the next release because SaaS doesn't eliminate the need to test, to adapt our processes, and to train our users. So your customer support model is unique and it really sets you apart from your competitors, right? Because you guys have given us the resources to really understand what's coming next, to see what's happening. And so we can adjust our business practices to better align with the technology. I've had lots of conversations with people, right, to have the opinion that an application should adapt to them. My perspective is if you've selected the right application, you can adapt to it, right? And having a great understanding of how the product is evolving really helps us to get ahead of that adaption curve, if you would. And even in the rare cases when your changes haven't aligned 100% with what we were expecting, we have a voice to express our concerns. And we all know getting heard is 80% of the battle. So the willingness on both sides just increases. So we listen, we collaborate, we find mutually agreeable ways forward. And right, and that, from my perspective, just makes it really challenging. It gives me no reason to want to overcome switching costs, right? So it seems very simple, but not very many people do it. So obviously it's not simple. So that great partnership in the true sense of the word absolutely is also something we look for in our partners.
Wow. That is music to my ears. Love hearing that. We pride ourselves on, you know, going above and beyond. And I'm glad to see that that one comes through on your end as well. So thank you for sharing that. I'm sure the entire team is going to be on listening. So they're going to be very happy to hear that as well. So a couple of things though, but beyond the partnership with Propel and your team, I know that your team on the IT side also partners very closely with the business side. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what are the things that you do to make sure that that partnership between IT and business is a productive one?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So it's very important to me that what essentially we have business process owners, right? The IT is excellent at selecting applications that solve problems. A lot of people on my staff know at, you know, very detailed levels exactly how the business runs. They know where the information goes. They know the process flows. They know the workflows. They're really great at their job, but they really love IT. So we need them to do the IT stuff. And I need a partner in the business who really loves their process and can support their users. So I work really hard to ensure that when we're doing IT work, we have a business process owner to walk the path with us, so to speak. And a couple of places, two of my best friends at Alert are the VP of Software Engineering and the VP of Hardware Engineering, right? Obviously, I support their PLM application, so that's really important. But one of the areas that we have to pay a lot of attention to as we start the scaling process is in product change management, right? ECOs can have a lot of unintended consequences, and nobody likes to be surprised. So a big part of my responsibility as owner of the PLM tool is to ensure that we have processes that make product change management robust. But that requires me to have a great partnership with the head of software and the head of hardware, because it's that ECO process that's going to be kind of the last workflow, the last gate, if you will, between good change and bad change in the field. I think we talked about this a little bit last time we talked, Dario, and I'm super happy. I think I talked about, you know, it's important to me to make sure software engineering is in the PLM system. And I'm really happy to say that we have them fully into the PLM framework. My teams in config control and IT, we are very actively supporting the software development organization. And that includes software development, software quality, DevOps, to ensure that every one of their releases goes to a change review board and their release is governed through PLM on an ECO like any other part. So that is, it warms my heart, actually. It makes me very happy. And their adoption of PLM, and even their, because they're software engineers, so they're like, why can't I automate this? Their just willingness to create parts, create change orders, it's been quick and easy. And it's because of that partnership I have with Peggy, right? Because she's standing right next to me and being like, okay, guys, this is what we're doing and this is how we're doing it and this is why. So that's incredibly important. Similarly, with the hardware teams, we work very closely with the whole DFX community, right? Design for everything, because we've got to deploy some hardware upgrades to our sites and we've got to deploy them efficiently. So Propel, again, is that governing system, ensuring that the details coming in for the change, all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and that the catchers are ready to catch the change. And that is a close collaboration with a whole bunch of people to work through those process details, make sure the system is configured, and we have all the information we need to do that well.
Fantastic. Great. Thanks again for walking us through that. So we're coming up to the end of our session here. But I'd love for you to end. You've gone through something that most people want to experience at least once in their professional career, which is this hypergrowth phase. So for people who are maybe entering that or are setting themselves up for that, whether it's business or IT, what advice would you give to them?
So focus on the problems you need to solve and the process that solves those problems. Don't talk about the tool until you understand those two pieces, right? Be purposeful to know if you're planning for the short term or the long term. And use critical thinking when you're selecting your tool providers, right? Really, really vet out their capabilities, give them use cases to show you, and make sure you feel good about the partnership you're about to embark on. And then really, really important. Again, this is why you have to, you know, kind of one bite of the elephant at a time. You have to think through the staffing required to achieve the success of the tool. Because as you're growing, and we've all had this, you know, this, the last 3 years have been crazy in terms of staffing and being able to bring people in. Make sure you're not designing something that can't be supported by the organization. So sometimes you got to go slow to go fast, but be very purposeful in what you're doing. And from my perspective, always focus on scalability. Don't leave it until later, because it's really hard to undo those, you know, kind of band-aids that you put in place when it's time to scale.
All right, fantastic. Love that advice. Heather, this is all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you sharing so many of your insights with our audience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Platform Rules, Digital Transformation for Product Companies. You can listen to this show and more at propelsoftware.com/podcasts. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share with a colleague, leave a review, or email us at podcasts@propelsoftware.com with any feedback or questions. Until next time, Platform Rules.